God is
awesome.
But our God is
awesome.
Hallelujah. Amen. And we just thank God for knowing who he is and what he's done. Amen. We thank God for the homegoing service of Sister Bridget on Monday. Amen. The homegoing service on Monday. Amen. It was such a pleasure to see everyone, and you know, and they sent texts of gratitude for all the support, amen, from the Agape Church family.
Amen.
I said reverse it, we just all family.
Amen.
Right? Support from the family. Know you and us, them and they.
Amen.
Amen. We're all in this together. And the one thing, I'm bringing a little bit, the one thing that I changed, each week I change. But last week, I don't know where I got the book from, but I received a book in the mail. It's about 8 women whose faith was under fire. And someone sent it to me from the Voice of the Martyrs. It's a 300-page book. And I'm already on page like 240 or 250. And as I read the book, all I can think of is we focus so much on so many mental insignificant things. Well, we got people that are really going through difficult trials. And I read about these are ladies, and some of them started as young as 10 years old being tortured, amen, being physically tormented and abused, and then they were able to look at their people that victimized them and had no unforgiveness. Matter of fact, they prayed for the people that victimized them.
Yeah.
I said, Lord, if they can do that, what in the world is God going to say to us?
Yeah.
Just think about that. Seriously, we get caught up in all this little insignificant, pity-any stuff. And you got people that are really going through. So I'm almost finished the book. Y'all can line up.
Yeah.
Right? Because we need to change our whole perspective on God and salvation.
Yeah.
You know, people, something happens all the time. Why do we focus on the little stuff? Especially I read about the one lady, she was actually Richard Wurmbrand's wife, Sabina Wurmbrand, talked about the physical abuse. They beat and tortured and kicked her to the point that she passed out. And then the next day, she had to be on the labor line working with 2 broken ribs. But she was able to look at those that victimized her with forgiveness. I said, Lord, I don't want that to be my judgment. I don't want that to be my measuring stick for judgment. So I got to change where I presently am. We need to stop focusing on so many insignificant things because those are nothing more than distractions. We need to keep our focus on Jesus. Amen. If somebody wronged us, we need to pray for them. Amen. Even if someone does us good, we still need to pray for them. But we need to change. The American church needs to change. And many of these people don't have the Holy Ghost, but they have a conviction about God. How do we have the Holy Ghost? And my focus is on little stuff. Amen. Focus on somebody said this to me wrong, or somebody did that wrong, and then we react to it. We all messed up because of insignificant things. When people are truly being tortured, beaten, amen, and they still make a stand for God.
Amen.
Just think about it. You know, this is how I view it. So I say every week, every day, my perspective on salvation and life changes. Because when you read about what others are going through, I mean really going through, what we go through, the Bible, Paul calls it what? A light affliction. Which only lasts but a moment. But he said, if you go through it with the right spirit, it works in you a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. Amen. If you go through it with the right spirit. And tonight, what we're going to deal with about, what we're going to deal with is probably a continuation of the silent sin. Actually, the Lord has been dealing with me about this message for the last 2 weeks, I just said, Lord, I just didn't feel the need to do it. If you remember, like 2 weeks ago, I said, I got two messages. Yeah. Now, this is the second message. All right, so let us all stand. Change the way we presently see things. Amen. And you know, it was just nice. I said, you got to let it go. Now, I'm not telling you to do this just for a form of fashion. I'm talking for real. Money and stuff, and all stuff that happened way back then. You gotta
let it go.
Brothers and sisters can't speak to each other, acting all funny. You got to
let it go.
Let it go. If you don't let it go, don't tell me about it because I don't want to know. Right? Because we need to grow up in Christ.
Yes.
Paul said, when I was a child, I thought as a child.
Yes.
I acted as a child. But when I became a, you know, he said, when I became spiritually mature, I put all that childish, immature, spiritual stuff aside. Amen. So get it right. What? Look at somebody and tell them what?
Get it right.
Let it what?
Get it right.
And get it right. All right, so now, tomorrow when things will go your way, you're supposed to?
Let it go.
Don't be calling somebody up telling them all the stuff that happened to you. You're supposed to be letting it go. Amen. We need to look to a higher height. And God's word has been constantly trying to get our attention to get us on track. Look at all the thousand people around you that died every day unsaved. And you focusing on all that. They did this to me and they did that to me. You got to. So before God and the congregation, I apologize for the way I acted. Right? Because I want to be right.
Amen.
Do what you want to do. But I want to be able to say I'm saved and I'm on my way to heaven. And I am so glad. Amen. So you can do what you want to. We all come along in different stages and different times, but I purpose. Now, if y'all got problems, something happened to y'all, don't want to bring it back to halfway back then, don't talk to me about it. I tell you now, I'm not going to listen. Right? I'm trying to get free. I want to be able to hear God speak. It's hard to hear God speak when your mind is entangled in mess. God is speaking and moving all around. You can't perceive it. And I don't want God to have to send a donkey to get my attention. So, you don't understand. Yes, I do understand, but the Bible said that God is faithful. And he will never put more on us than we're able to bear. But he will, with the temptation, make a way to escape. That you might be able to bear. Right? Is God sovereign?
Yes.
Does God have providential rule, meaning he's in control?
Yes.
So whatever you're going through, that means God is permitting you. So why are you telling everybody? When a little talk with
Jesus.
A little talk with Jesus will make everything
alright.
So stop talking to people. They can't fix your problem. Talk to Jesus. Amen. 2 Chronicles chapter 36. We're going to read verses 11 through 19. So I made my apologies.
Amen.
I haven't said much, but I don't think I've acted like I should have acted. So I said, you know what? When I read this book and I'm seeing things, I'm saying, you know what? Let me tell you something. If you go somewhere looking for a problem, guess what?
You're going to
find it. If you look for a problem, you're going to
find it.
Amen. Because you have created that situation in your mind. And remember, we know not too long ago, whatever you preoccupy your mind with, it draws the physical equipments. So if you prepare, like, wait till this happens, guess what's going to happen? It's going to happen. All right, let's go to the scripture. I made my confession. I'm clean and pure before God. And you got some problems? Talk to me about it. Because I let go. Remember Sunday we said, don't let nobody dump on you. Amen. If you perceive that somebody's going the wrong way, say, y'all want to make up some signs, no dumping. You ever go by land, some empty land, they got all those big signs, no dumping. Yeah, serious, you ever go over there? No dumping. Well, I'm going to give y'all some spiritual signs. When somebody starts going the wrong way, don't say nothing, just hold. hold up.
No,
nothing. Right? The wife is going through a bad time and get to the husband, just hold up. The husband is having a bad day, get to the wife, hold up. So we're going to have some hold up signs. I don't need that. We have a lot of our own stuff to work on. Amen. Verse 11 reads, do y'all have it?
Amen.
Zedekiah was 120 years old when he began to reign. And he reigned 11 years in Jerusalem. And he did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord his God, and humbled not himself before Jeremiah the prophet. What was the evil? He would not humble himself when he heard the word of God. God said, when you hear the word, and you know the word is for you, and you don't receive it by humbling yourself, that is evil. Amen? Verse 13 reads, well, the word prophet speaking from the mouth of the Lord. Make sure he didn't just speak from himself. He's speaking from what? So because he would not break down his stony heart of pride and receive it, God called that evil. Amen? And he also rebelled against King Nebuchadnezzar, who had made him swear by God, but he stiffened his neck and thank God we don't have that problem. Amen? From turning unto the Lord God of Israel. Moreover, all the chief of the priests and the people transgressed very much after all the abomination of the heathen, and polluted the house of the Lord, which he had hallowed in Jerusalem. And the Lord God of their fathers sent to them by his messengers, rising up betime and sending, because he had compassion. Hallelujah. God loves us so much, he keeps sending somebody to get us right. Because he has compassion on his people and on his dwelling place. But they mocked the messenger of God and despised his word and misused his prophets until the wrath of the Lord arose against his people till there was no remedy. May the Lord have a blessing to the reading of his word, and the church said,
word of the Lord
is blessed already. You may be seated. So tonight, the subject we're going to deal with is there a remedy? Is there a remedy? Is there a remedy to whatever situation we're going through? Well, it says that God got upset with his people because they refused to humble themselves. The scripture says pride goes before destruction, and a hardened spirit before a fall. God resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. So when you hear the word of God, and you know it's meant for you, and you say, well, you don't understand. God understands everything that we're going through, because the scripture said he was tempted in all points, like as we are, yet without sin. Somebody said, well, I've been going through it for a long time, because you have not yet passed the test. Amen. And God loves us so much, he keeps sending a word. But when we hear the word, we respond to it initially, but then we stiffen our necks and we harden our heart, just like the people of God did. It said it got so bad that God's wrath arose to the point that there was no remedy. They couldn't get help because they were persistent in doing things their way. The scripture said God sent them prophet after prophet. In verse 16, he says, verse 15 says, the Lord God of their fathers sent unto them by his messengers rising up. I mean, God kept sending a word to help them. God sent sending messengers trying to get his people back on track. And one of the problems that Judah had was not only were they doing wrong outside of church, but they brought all of that foolishness into the house of God. Amen. So God got angry, and he kept sending the word. He kept sending messages. start to break down their stony heart, but they mocked the messengers of God. Right? They gave the messengers of God a deaf ear. Verse 16 says, they mocked the messenger of God and despised his words and misused until the wrath of the Lord arose against his people till there was. God said, then no matter how much I try to help you, every time I turn around, all I can see is you. Every time situations don't work out like you want, all you can see is you. God said, I keep sending messengers and help for you, but you won't humble yourself and receive my word. You are so full of self, hallelujah, that you can't hear a word from God because you're determined to do it your own way. Now let's go to Proverbs chapter 29 and verse 1. There is a remedy, but will we receive God's remedy? You know what the remedy is? The remedy is this: receive God's word. That's all God wants us to do, is to receive his word. Amen. Proverbs 29 verse 1. Do we all have it? All right, let us read that together. He that being, over and over, God is trying to correct you. Over and over, God is trying to redirect you. Over and over, God is trying to get you out of you and into where he wants you to be. He that often being reproved hardens his neck shall suddenly be cut off, and that
without remedy.
God got so angry trying to help his people. He said, every time I send you a help or answer, all you keep doing is what you want to do. You refuse to humble yourselves in my sight. Hallelujah. Now go to Proverbs 1, verses 24 through 30. And then after that, we're going to go to Jeremiah chapter 7. All God wants of us is an obedient spirit. That's all he wants, just obedience. The challenge to being obedient and surrendering and yielding to God's word is getting out of us. Amen. Getting out of us. Many of us have become our own idol and don't even realize it. You know why? Because we focus more on what we want than what God wants. Anything, anyone that you put before God is that some of us are our own idols. Because all we do is look at all of our stuff and what we're going through, and people don't understand. It's trying to let go and let God. Amen. Proverbs 1, 24 reads, God says, and this is God speaking. Can't say God is speaking?
God is speaking.
This is God speaking. He says, because I have called and ye
refused.
God calls us. In every situation that we go through, God is speaking. God is directing. But it's hard to see God when we are in our own way. Can't see God because of the big eye. That's why God, Lucifer, kicked out of heaven, right? Because he placed a higher demand on what he wanted than what God wanted. And the thing about Lucifer is he ushered in the presence of God. He was a covering cherub. He was there when they sang and prayed music and all. That's why he was full of vows and music, because he ushered in the presence of God. But he got high and lifted up. Why? Because he said, I. You know, do this one day. Take a piece of paper, write down how many times you say I. Seriously, think of it. I'm this, and I'm this. And I, write down how many times you say I. And then on the other side, write down how many times you say God or Jesus. Then that'll show you what you're comfortable with. Right? How many times do you say I, or me, or something about you? And how many times do we say something about God, Jesus, and praying for somebody else? Just make that comparison. And that'll show you whether God is pleased with you or not. Amen. We said, I've called and you refused. I've stretched out my hand and that's disrespectful. If somebody's coming to you and you lift out the hand to try and help them out and they turn their head, that's what? Isn't that disrespectful? God said, I even stretched out my hand and you regard it. God said, I'm trying to help you. and you don't realize it. He said, but you have said it now. Is that what we're saying? Don't be so. Let's keep going. All right. He said, but ye have said it not all my counsel and what none of mine. Now this is what God says. I will at your. Somebody said, I'm just going through. God said, I've been trying to reach you. I've been trying to help you, but you won't turn. You won't receive my help. So God said, now I'm laughing at your calamity. He said, I will mock when your fear cometh. When your fear cometh as desolation and your destruction cometh as a whirlwind, when distress and cometh upon you, then shall they. God said, now I've been calling you and you ignored me. Then when your situation gets real bad, you're going to call me. God said, I won't answer you. Amen. He said, I won't answer. They will see me early. Well, what was the problem? They hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord. Before we go to Jeremiah chapter 7, let's go to Psalms, the 50th division of Psalms. Right. I got a lot of scripture, so I got to stay the course. Because we want God's word to change us from the inside out. All of these pity parties and people who help me do this, help me do that, the greatest help you can ever give is from God. But you have to accept the help that He's giving you. Many times we want God to move our way. But Jesus said, not my. That's when you really surrender all. Not my will, but thy will be done. Saul, after he'd done all of his self-righteousness, when God finally got his attention, he surrendered all. He said, Lord, what will? Not what do I want to do. Not what do I feel like doing. He said, what will thou have me? He said, he's a chosen vessel. Because I will show him what great things he must suffer for my name's sake. Amen. He surrendered all, so God gave him that. Psalm 50, verse 14 reads, Offer unto God, and pay thy vows unto the Most High, and call upon me in the day of trouble. He said, if you praise me, if you do what you're supposed to do when you're in trouble, he said, all you got to do is, and I will. Somebody said, don't get deliverance. What? Who have you been glorified? Have you been offering God praise? Or have you been ushering out a world of rebuke and murmuring and complaining? When the scripture said, with many of them, God was not well pleased. And they were overthrown in the wilderness because they what? Murmured and. So when you murmur and complain, God gives you a deaf ear because that's not what He has commanded us to do. He said, offer unto God thanksgiving. Things are bad, but praise Him anyhow. I don't have what I want, but praise Him. Although the fig tree shall not blossom. Yeah. You still got to praise Him. There might not be no meat in the stall. The labor of the olive shall fail. The Bible said the field will yield. Or that thou shouldest take my covenant in the. He said, why? You acting like you want to have, you going to put my covenant in your mouth? Amen? He goes on to say, see thou. God said, I'm giving you instructions. I'm directing you. He said, but you won't receive them. Why? Thou hatest instruction and cast my words. You won't receive my word. You're stubborn, you're stiff-necked. You won't receive my word. I keep trying to help you, but you keep putting up a wall of defense. You cast my word, he says, behind you. When thou sawest a thief, thou consentest with him, and hast been partakers with adulterers. Thou givest thy mouth to evil, and thy tongue to frame defeat, deceit. Thou sittest and speaketh against, you so bad you just running everybody now. Against thy brother, thou slanderest thy own mother's son. He said, these things hast thou done. And I, God said, yes, you've been doing it. God said, I've been monitoring you, I've been keeping up with everything you said. He said, but I haven't done anything yet. He said, I kept silent. He said, and now thought that I was all together. You know what he said? God said, you did all that. God, you thought I was agreeing with you. He said, I wasn't. He said, I just kept silent. Because I was going to see how long you would stay like that. He said, but this one thing I will do. After you finished all that, he said, I will reprove thee and set them in order before thine eyes. God said, you think I'm with you, but I'm not with you. He said, now consider this, ye that, that's the whole issue. All we can focus on is us. We forget God. But there is a remedy. Hallelujah. Amen. He said, lest I tell thee in pieces and there be none to deliver thee. Now let's go to Jeremiah chapter 7 and we're going to go to verse 21 of Jeremiah chapter 7. So the issue is, we don't want to receive God's word. We just want everybody to be on our pity party. Everybody, I just going through so much. Oh, brother, sister, or whatever, so and so, we just feel so bad for you. I mean, my father let us have a pity party. My father said, you are a man, and you will be a man. If we try that crying and feeling sorry stuff, my father tell us he didn't use profanity, but he had some not so political words, politically right words, that he would not have in his house. Right? My father was a bad man. Seriously. We were only like 6 and 7 years old. And my father told us, he said, listen, if somebody jumps on your brother, he said, you take whatever you can and you defend your brother. He said, don't ever come to this house crying. He said, God, after you come to the house crying, when I finish you, you're going to still go back out. Right? And get that straight. So I was kind of crazy, because I didn't know what my father said. I was in the second grade, right? So I was 7 or 8 years old in Columbus, Georgia. And my brother Joe had asthma real bad. He had real bad asthma. So we were coming home from school, but those are the days when you walked to school, no matter how far it was. You know, we have all these barnacle beaches, the buses, right? So we walked to school, so we were walking. And I was helping my brother Joe home from school, he was having asthma, and all these boys, I don't know how many it was, it was too many, but they were picking on him. So all I can remember is what my father told us. My father said, you don't let nobody pick on your brother. And there was at least 6 of them. So since my brother was sick and they were picking on him, I had to do what my father said. Because I want to go home and get a whipping and have to go. That's how he said it. So I'm going to go home. My brother said, Dad, they were picking on me. And I got another thing to call myself. And he didn't do nothing. Right? So when they started, I just started fighting. I don't even know how many it was. To one of those knucklehead kids, went in that house and got a butcher knife. At that time, I said, Joe, get on my back. It's time to go. And the next thing I know, I saw that butcher knife slide past us. But my father didn't play that stuff. So I can't help it. You know, like my grandkids, I don't want to be too hard on you. I just, be a man. All right. That's how I came up. So even when I deal with men in church, I listen. But I have a flashback to what my father told me when I was a kid. So I believe a man ought to act like me. Amen. Yes, we all have difficult times, but in the end, we still have to be. Well, let somebody say, get back on the word. I'm back. That's no charge. Jeremiah 7, verse 21 reads, thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, put your burnt offerings and your sacrifices and eat flesh. You know, he said, this knows me. All that sacrifice and all your praise in the Lord, he said, that don't mean nothing. Because I'm not impressed with your outward display. See, you just get rid of that. You do the offering, that sacrifice, you might want to go eat it. Don't offer that to me. Amen. For I speak not unto your fathers, nor commanded them in the day that I brought them out of the land of Egypt concerning burnt offerings. But this
thing.
One thing. This, everybody do this. Name one thing you command. Everything else is secondary. This one thing I command them, saying. God said, just obey my voice. So we're doing all the sacrifices. God said, one of you guys, I'm speaking, I'm trying to help you, but you don't want to listen. He said, obey my voice, and I will be your God, and ye shall be my people, and walk in all the ways that I have commanded you, that it may be well with you. But they, God only wants us to walk in obedience. In walking in obedience, no prophecy of the scripture of any private interpretation. So don't take God's word and twist it to fit your situation, because it's not a private interpretation. Right? The holy man of God speaks as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. So when God speaks, all he wants us to do is walk in obedience. Don't justify it, don't try to pretty it up like you didn't do it. Just be obedient. He said, but they would not hearken, nor incline their ear, but walk in the counsel and the imagination of their
evil heart.
And went
backwards
and not. Well, what caused them to go backwards? They would not hearken. They would not walk in obedience. You have to look at yourself sometimes and say, man, it seems like my life is going more backwards than forward, right? Well, what is the problem? Are you walking in obedience
to God?
Amen. If God is for you, nobody can be
against you.
Now, he said that imagination of that evil heart, right? Now, you ever heard of a thing that's called a halter monitor?
Amen.
You ever heard of a halter monitor?
Amen.
You know what it is?
Oh.
You know what a halter monitor does? It monitors your heart activity 24 hours a day. God is the greatest halter monitor that ever exists. Because in monitoring your heart, he's trying to find out if there are any abnormalities in your heart. So once you detect the abnormality, then you can correct it. So we're doing a whole lot of talking, but God has that spiritual halter monitor on our hearts. You're saying one thing, but God says, hypocrite. Because you say this, he said, but my halter monitor does not lie. Right? It monitors your situation 24 hours a day. And if you have a severe situation, that halter monitor goes directly to the doctor, right? Because it means that you are in a cardiac situation where you could be in trouble. So when the halter monitor gets too fast, it goes right to the doctor. Y'all don't have no medicine, huh? Yeah, I will get my doctor, but I ain't got time for that. So it goes right to the doctor. Well, God's halter monitor is the same way. God said, wait a minute, your situation is everything is out of whack. You got arrhythmia, you got this, you got that. God said, wait a minute. I need to come and take care of you, right? Because he's monitoring in our hearts. And in Him mind in our heart, the heart, listen, you can look like the most perfect specimen of all. You can be like all those football players, solid and built, and still die of a heart attack. Because you look good on me, but the issue is on. A whole lot of people in church look good on me, and you ought to look good. But the outside should never be prettier than the inside. The outside should never be more embellished than the
inside.
Hallelujah. We should give more attention to the outside than we give to the
inside.
So God says, I'm monitoring your heart. Yes, you look good on the outside. He said, but I see some challenges on the inside. Can we go to Isaiah chapter 1 for a minute? We'll come back to this in 1 quick second. All right. Tonight it'll be scripture night. Y'all just stay with me on the scriptures, all right? Stay with me on the scripture. This is what God said, that all this foolishness that we allow ourselves to get caught up in, and then can't pray, can't look at people, and like I said, people look at us and say, wow, what are they going through? The joy of the Lord is supposed to be our
strength.
We are the light of the
world.
Read and known of.
Amen.
You're supposed to let your good work, let your light shine on before men so they can see your good work and glorify your Father. When they finish looking at you, they're like, oof, I don't go to that church. Seriously. Some people say, man, that church does this, that church does that. The church don't do that, but you are a poor reflection of the church. So when they see you, they think that's the whole church. Right, because you have to know whatever. You need to get it right from the inside out.
Yes.
So remember, God has His spiritual halter monitor on you, and He's monitoring your situation, and God wants to know what's going on in your heart. Isaiah 1 reads this. We're going to start in verse 2. It says, hear, O heavens, and give ear, O earth. For the Lord, hallelujah, Lord, you speak, and let me listen. Like Samuel says, speak, Lord, for thy servant. It's about being real with God tonight. Amen. Forget all that foolishness. Right? It's about being real with God. For the Lord has spoken, I have nourished and brought up children, and they... Now, all your parents get along. Is like, yeah, that is one stubborn, rebellious child. If you don't, don't raise your hand either. That's what you ask this for yourself. Right, don't be smiling. Man, that is one stubborn, rebellious child. Yes. Man, you ever got some of those man childs? Like, whoop. I say don't raise your hand. And look at what you look like. He said, because I've done everything for you. Man, I can't go through all those scriptures. Well, all right. He said, but I've done all this for you, but you rebelled.
Yes.
He said, you know, he said, listen, let me explain that. He said, the ox
knows
his own, and has
his
master's crib. He said, but my people, they don't even consider it. How in the world can an animal have a greater appreciation than God's people? Think about that. An animal has a greater appreciation than God's people? Amen? All right, let's keep moving because time is running out. He said, our sinful nation, a people laden with the problem is they are a seed of evil doers, children that are corrupters. They have for that's the problem. Get God back on your side. They have forsaken the Lord, they have provoked the Holy One of Israel unto, and they have gone. Just think, spiritually, You make your own determination, because the man, Bible says, let every man examine himself to see where he is in the faith. If you examine yourself, it's not important for me to examine you, but my Bible says if we would judge ourselves, we have no need to be judged. So if I'm examining and judging myself right now, am I going forward spiritually? Am I going backwards? If you're going backward, God classifies a label that as a seed of evildoers. I didn't say it. Who said it? So God got so frustrated. He said, why should you be stricken anymore? You will revolt more and more. He says, the whole head is, who is he talking about? His people. Why? Because they were so rebellious. They were so determined to do what they wanted to do. They refused to heed God's word, right? He says the whole head is sick and the whole heart faint. From the sole of the foot, even unto the head, there is. Hallelujah. Lord, judge me, but let me be right. He said, but wounds and bruises and putrefying souls, they have not been closed, neither bound up, neither mollified with ointment. And let's just get down a little further. Verse 11 said, to what purpose is the multitude of your sacrifice? I go to church every time this church. I go to prayer and say, what good is it doing? If you still got a problem, right? You still got a problem here. So he said, what good is the multitude of your sacrifice? I do for God, I do this, I do that. God says, I'm looking beyond the deep. I want to know what's in your heart. Right? All the other stuff is irrelevant. It's secondary. God said, all I want you to do is be obedient unto me. What purpose is most through your sacrifice unto me, says the Lord? I am full of burnt offerings and rams and the fat of fed meat. And I delight not in the blood of bulls or lamb or he goes. He said, when ye come to appear before me, who has required this at your hands to tread my course? Bring no more vain oblations. Incense is always symbolic of prayer. He said, even your prayers are an abomination. In Proverbs, I think it's 28:9, he said, whosoever turneth away from me, turneth away his ear from hearing the law, even his prayer is an abomination. Can you go to 28:9? Then we're going to come back and finish it. Go to Proverbs 28:9. Somebody say, well, I pray all the time. And God is, I get my hour, 2-3 hours a day. But are you obedient to God's word? Y'all get quiet.
Amen.
He that from hearing the law. So I'm praying. But I'm not obedient to God. I do what I want to do. He said, that prayer that you're praying is an abomination to God. Now let's go back to Jeremiah chapter 7. If you go down a little further out of there, he said, if you're willing and obedient, you shall eat the fat of the land. Right? If you read verse 19, it says, if you be willing and obedient, you shall eat the fat. But God wants obedience. Amen. So now, Jeremiah chapter 7 again. Let's go back there. Amen. If I can find out where I'm at, because I've jumped so many places now. And I'm suppressing those other scriptures, because time is running out. Verse 23 says, but this thing I command them, saying, obey my voice, and I will be your God, and you shall be my people, and walk ye in all the ways which I commanded you, that it may be. You cannot walk in disobedience and think it's going to be well. No matter how you justify it, no matter how much you pretty it up, no matter how much you sugarcoat it, the wages, right? The wages of disobedience is this: every sin and transgression receives a just recompense or reward. So if you transgress means to go against. Whether it's intentionally or unintentional, it still has to reap a consequence. So to him that knoweth the right thing to do, and then he doesn't do it, God said, that is And I believe in 1 John chapter 5, I forget which verse, you can look it up your own time. It says, all unrighteousness is sin. So when you don't do what's right, that is sin. Do we all have that? So he talks about going backwards and not forward. Verse 25 says, since the day that your fathers came forth out of the land of Egypt unto this day, I have even sent unto you all my servants and prophets daily rising up early, and yet they hearken not unto me, nor incline their ear, but hearken and they did worse than their father. Therefore shall thou speak all these words unto them, but they is something about when we get set in our ways, no matter how much we hear God's word, we want to do what we want to do. Amen. They will not hearken to thee. Thou shalt also call unto them, but they will not. You ever try to hear somebody say, well, I want to try and help you. Say, I don't want to hear you right now. Right? You got to leave that person alone. That is a God case. If they don't want to hear you and you're telling them what is good for their soul, you have to leave them. My mother used to say, there are times when I have to leave you more than God's hand. And when we got older, my mother said, that's the best chance she left us in. Because we all wind up saved. She left us in. So sometimes there's some situations we can't fix. Leave it alone. And leave them in. Because the more you badger, the worse it gets. Amen. You need to leave some situations alone. Telephone to glory. Oh, what joy divine. I can feel the current moving on the line. Built by God the Father for his loving all. You can talk to Jesus on the royal. And it ain't like Sprint, Verizon, or the rest of them. You don't ever get to a place where there's no reception. God is always on the line. Hallelujah. I learned from Bishop Golden says, central as never been. You can talk to Jesus almost at any time. So stop calling people. Hallelujah. You've been calling that same number. You know, they asked me one time, I called the number. I said, forget it. God don't want me to get through. Then years later, God showed me you would call the wrong number. You were calling the wrong number. I was like, I had a mental break or something, mental blockage or something. I don't know about it. But God didn't want me to speak to them. He wanted me to speak to them. So sometimes when you can't get through, put down, spread, iPhone. It's one of the worst phones they make, iPhones. Put them down. Right? It's time to get on your royal phone. Because we need some change. Change comes from God. Let me finish this because my time is running out. Even though school's not out, y'all are hot, y'all know too much fanning. Y'all fanning me to death. But thou shalt say unto them, this is a nation that obeyeth not the voice of the Lord, their God, nor receiveth correction. Truth is, can you imagine truth has what? Perished. Amen. They don't want to hearken to God. Now let's go to Jeremiah, the 18th chapter. Now we have a couple more verses. Well, I got a lot more, but we're going to go over a couple more. Amen. Because, you know, I don't know about the rest of y'all, but when you start speaking, God lets me put all these scriptures like, oh, you can't go everywhere. Boy, I said, man, you need to slow down something. You go too fast. You're putting everything out at one time. I don't know, I just have to do what he says. Go fast, go slow, whatever. Jeremiah chapter 18, verse 5. Alright. And we're talking about God monitors our hearts. Forget about what you say. Forget about how much you hold in favor. God, spiritual heart, altar monitors, monitoring your heart. You know what God's looking for? Abnormality. He's looking for the things that aren't right. Everybody's looking, hallelujah, praise the Lord, nobody's looking. Being in a 10-round state on a hot summer day. Right. Brothers and sisters, these things are not to be. We are to be right 18:5 reads, "Then the word of the Lord came to me, saying, O house of Israel, cannot I do with you as the potter, saith the Lord? Behold, as the clay is in the potter's hand, so are ye in mine." God can fix your situation because your end is in his hands. And what answers I shall speak concerning the nation and concerning the kingdom, to pluck up and to pull down and to destroy it? If that, God said, yes, I spoke against you. He said, but if that nation against whom I pronounce turn from their evil. We're going to turn from evil to do what? Repent. You've been going wrong. God said, even though I have purpose, I was going to do this. He said, now if you will repent, then I will also. What I purpose to do, he said, I'm going to do that. Amen. He said, I will also repent of the evil that I thought to do unto them. And at what instance I shall speak concerning a nation and concerning a kingdom to build and to plant it, if it do evil in my sight. Listen, God monitors us for evil. You cannot justify evil. Evil is not of God. The Bible says God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth any man. So God won't tempt you with evil. So if it's evil, it's not from God. Who is it from? Alright, but if it ain't the two forces out here, how many of y'all are? Maybe two. If it ain't God,
then
it's the devil. Right? Because God cannot be tempted with, and he won't tempt you with. So when you start acting evil, so look at somebody and say, that ain't God.
But
tempt them to each other. Say, that ain't God. Amen. He said, verse 10, if it do evil in my sight, that it obey not my voice, then will I repent of the good, wherefore I said I will benefit them. Now therefore go to, speak to the men of Judah and to the inhabitants of Jerusalem, saying, thus said God is speaking. We are to have an ear to hear when God is speaking. Amen. Down south, you know, down south we have a lot of little superstitions, right? So down south, we could be doing anything, but if it starts thundering and lightning, we have to sit down and come say a word. Because God was speaking. Honest truth. I was like, my kid really be scared, right? I was like, we play, start like, she said, y'all sit down and be quiet. I said, hey, Ma, you can't really be serious, can't you? She said, boy? Yes. That's what she said, boy? So we do that man. So you know what we do? We have to sit down on the couch until it's finished thundering lightning because God was speaking. It's true. So I don't know if it's true and I ain't gonna mess with that, but that's what we did. So when God is speaking, we ought to be silent. Because we can't speak and hear God speak at the same time. And we say, praise the Lord. And then that's what we'll speak to the men of Judah and to the inhabitants of Jerusalem, saying, thus saith the Lord, behold, I frame evil against you and devise and device against you. Return ye not everyone from his
evil.
You gotta return from your
evil.
If it ain't right, you gotta. They gotta repent. Because if my people which are called by my name will humble themselves and pray. Right? And seek my face and you gotta turn. Somebody said, I've been off track. It's time to repent. It's time. Evil is not of God. If you've been doing no justification, that's just me. Evil ain't God. And that's the problem. It needs, it's too much of just you. If that's evil and wrong, you need to. Isn't that what he said?
Well, yes, he did.
No. God doesn't put anything on us that's hard. The Bible talks about his commandments are not grievous. If he tells us to do it, he knows we can do it. If we surrender, amen. So he says, I devise and advise against you, return you now from his evil way and make your ways and your Make your ways and your. What have you been doing? Somebody said, I go to church, my way is always good, but what have you been doing outside the church? What have you been doing at other times? Make your ways good and your. Hey, somebody said, what you been doing? What you been doing? What you been We have a responsibility to do right before God. Last verse it says, he says, and they said, this is people that just don't have the right spirit. You just can't help them. After all of that, after God has poured out so much to his own people to help them, they said, there is, but we will walk after our own. I'm going to be what I've always been, and I'm not going to change. And we will, everyone do the of his own. That's good enough. It's time for change. There is. Oh, I didn't give you the remedy. Let's go to the remedy. All right, this is it. Ecclesiastes chapter 13. This is a remedy. Amen. Stop doing what you want to do. Stop acting like you want to act. Every once in a while, step outside of yourself and see how you've been acting and judge that action based on God's word. Because the Bible says all the ways of a man are clean in his. But step outside of yourself and look at you and see what do you see. What do you think? How you act? That ugliness, that ain't God. Amen. Ecclesiastes chapter 13, chapter 12, verse 9. Sorry, not 13, 12. Because it's not 13 chapters. I'm just expecting. All right. 12, 9, read. And more because the preacher was wise. He still taught the people knowledge. Yet he gave good heed and sought out and set in order. The preacher sought to find out acceptable words. And that which was written was God's word is never wrong. God's word is never wrong. God's word is always right. In every situation, God is always right. Even words of truth. The words of the wise man as gold. And nails fastened by the master of assemblies, which are given from one shepherd. And furthered by these, my son, be admonished of making many books there is, and much study is weariness of the flesh. Well, what is your remedy? Let us hear the. Let us hear the. Of the whole man to what? This is the whole duty of man as we sin. That's our duty. That's the remedy. Fear God and keep his commandment. This is the don't keep putting your personal spin on God and his word as the elders and the ministers come forward. Is there a remedy? Yes. The remedy is to fear God and keep his commandments. Because it's the whole duty of man. We should purpose that. I don't know, I'm going to try to order some more of these books so y'all can read them, you know, in y'all's sub time, that downtime when you just feel like the whole world is against you. Read about some real sufferers. And then change your perspective. Amen. It's all about change. We should purpose that the path of the justice is a what? Shining light. We should shine more and more unto the perfect day. God changed me from the inside out. If I never be a fashion model, anything else, let my heart be right. If we are our conversations aright, we will have pleasure in the sight of God. But if we continue to walk in our own stubborn way, God says in your time of trouble, he said, I will not answer. In your time of need, he said, I won't hear you. Then when you're going through, he said, I'm going to laugh.